Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, how trustworthy is a man or woman who has a history of lying, especially when they are absolutely driven by a leftist agenda? Well, friends, one of the staunchest critics of President Trump is precisely that. And we're going to be talking about that momentarily. Well, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler. Today, I will be joined by Dr. Gary Dahl. Sam Rohrer is away. And in segment two, we're going to be talking about what's going on in D.C. with respect to the Neil Gorsuch confirmation, and we're going to be going right to Washington, D.C. for an on-the-ground, up-close, and personal look at everything that is going on with respect to the confirmation process, as well as how the parties may split in their votes for Neil Gorsuch as the new member of the United States Supreme Court. Then in segment three, you're never going to believe, friends, you're absolutely not going to believe who now is realizing that President Trump is correct with respect to his suspension of travel in order to keep the United States of America safe. Well, another world leader now is realizing that technically he is right with respect to that. You're just not going to believe who it is. And then in segment four, friends, we declined in a lot of areas during the last 8 years under the Obama administration. We declined economically, militarily. We certainly declined morally, but we also declined somewhere else. And that's what we're going to be sharing with you in the very last part of the program today. But right now in segment one, I want to go to this story. Does the name Senator Richard Blumenthal ring a bell? It should, because friends, in 2010, he was involved and embroiled in a controversy that came to be known as the Stolen Valor controversy, because he alleged that he actually fought in Vietnam when he actually was never sent to Vietnam. Well, President Trump yesterday morning hit Blumenthal for allegedly exaggerating details of a conversation with Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch, while at the same time again shining light on the seven-year-old uproar over the Connecticut Democrats' very clear misrepresentation of his military service. Now, here is what President Trump said, and I'm quoting from a tweet. He said, Senator Richard Blumenthal, who never fought in Vietnam when he said for years he had, now misrepresents what Judge Gorsuch told him. Trump went on and tweeted, Chris Cuomo, in his interview with Senator Blumenthal, never asked him about his long-term lie about his brave, quote-unquote, service in Vietnam. Fake news. Now, remember, friends, Blumenthal claimed he served in Vietnam. He did not. He actually spent his time on local projects here in the United States, such as Toys for Tots and other drives like that. And I'm not minimizing Toys for Tots, but that is vastly different than actually being in the line of fire in Vietnam. So my question, Gary, to you is this. We've got a number of these situations that have come up over the last number of years, i.e. Brian Williams at ABC claiming he came under fire, Hillary Clinton's false claims that she landed under sniper fire. And now we see yet another significant lie that has been or is being uncovered, and yet Blumenthal will attack or is attacking Neil Gorsuch's character and integrity and attacking the president, saying that Gorsuch said certain things about the president's critique of the Ninth Circuit Court. So, Gary, I want to get your comments on that, but I also want you to comment, if you would, about what the Bible has to say about those who can lie with this kind of impunity and have no shame.
Well, you know, David, first of all, not only are they lying, and they are, and I will comment on Jeremiah 6 and verse 15 in a minute, but, you know, they are also stupid, and I don't even like that word. But I say that because, you know, no matter what people do today, you can find a record of it, whether it's Blumenthal or whether it's Hillary Clinton and the being under fire. You know, everything is recorded today, and everything is seen on video. And so they are actually downright stupid because of the fact that they don't take that into consideration. But, you know, the sad part of it is, David, we have leaders today in government who have no integrity. And this goes back to what Todd Starnes said to us yesterday when we had him on the program. that, you know, if things are going to change, if culture is going to change, if morality is going to change in this nation, it's not going to come from the politicians. It's going to come from grassroots people. It's going to come from you and me that will create that change. Romans chapter 1 teaches us very clearly that when a person puts God out of the picture, that they are what? Without understanding, which simply means that they cannot think properly. They cannot respond properly. And then, you know, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15 is a very interesting verse where it says, in reference to the shenanigans, such like shenanigans as we see going on today, it says, were they ashamed when they had committed the abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. You know, we find today that people are believing a lie, which, by the way, David, is an indication of the last times. And beyond that, we find that they are not even ashamed of their evil, wicked conduct, whether it's lying or whatever else the case may be, but it's hypocrisy to the nth degree. It's a shame that we see our leaders, our politicians, acting like this today.
Well, Gary, I couldn't agree with you more. It is an unbelievable thing that we're watching take place, and you are 100% correct. When everything is videoed and people have captured it in some format via audio or video or a combination of both, for people to go out and do and say certain things that like these things that are being said and done and just overt lies, I don't know how in the world they think they can get by with it. Gary, here is what is so sad. You know as well as I do, because you have a son in the military, what Richard Blumenthal, Senator Blumenthal, did by claiming to have seen action when he did not see action. You know those that wear either the Purple Heart or they wear, you know, the Medal of Honor, or they may wear one of the highest ranking awards that are awarded to people that see combat. You know how they feel, Gary, when someone steals valor. And that is exactly what Richard Blumenthal did. So, Gary, again, I want you to go back and underscore this. When he claims that Neil Gorsuch said something in a meeting that was critical of Donald Trump, how much confidence can we have in this guy? How much confidence can we have in any of these people when they talk this way, knowing they have a history of overt lying?
None. We've lost all confidence because they have no credibility. Dave, you know, you talked about my son who's in the military. He has given me certain pins that he said I could wear, you know, different pins that he actually wears as well. I won't even wear them, simply because of the fact I was never in the military, if you understand what I'm saying. I will not put that impression on. I won't even wear a hat that says U.S. Army because I was not in the U.S. Army. I'm proud of it. But my son is out there. He's been on the front lines. I don't want to take anything away from what he has done or is doing. And this is the likes of Sidney Blumenthal. It's sad, it's sick, it's sorrowful.
Well, Gary, those that have served in the hell on earth that is known as war know the blood-soaked honor that hangs from the chest of those who truthfully wore a Purple Heart or a Bronze Star, and those who did not serve and yet claim to. Gary, I think for them is reserved the most and the greatest scorn, and I think that's what Sidney Blumenthal deserves. He is a liar, and we cannot have confidence in him when he talks about a conversation he had with what we pray will be the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States, Neil Gorsuch. Well, friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to go to Washington, D.C. for an update. You're going to love this. You're not going to hear it anywhere else.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
I'm Jan Markell, helping you understand the times.
In the right conditions, you can allow yourself to experience any number of different phenomena. The big mistake is to take those experiences and call them evidence.
There is one word that would describe the thinking in mainstream America, and that word is delusion. Delusion, according to the dictionary, means in contrast to what is generally accepted as reality or rational argument. The reality of what is normal reality has radically changed, and the new paradigm is based upon experience and emotion. People do not want to know about the facts of a matter. They want to hear how we are affected emotionally by the issues. Emotion and feelings rule in place of common sense, and that is how delusion rules a nation. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gere with today's Family Update. In defending its taking and use of taxpayer dollars, Planned Parenthood often makes claims that simply aren't true. For example, not a single Planned Parenthood clinic does mammograms, though its president has claimed they do. One of the latest bald-faced lies is that the organization provides prenatal care to pregnant women who come to Planned Parenthood facilities. Our team, with the help of some great volunteers, called every Planned Parenthood in Pennsylvania, and not a single one does prenatal care, even though their websites all say they did. And Live Action checked out other states and found the same reality: Planned Parenthood does not provide prenatal care. After we exposed this information, Planned Parenthood changed their Pennsylvania websites. Maybe they should change their name too, since it has nothing to do with parenthood after all. Abortion is the name of their game, and they shouldn't receive 1 cent of taxpayer dollars. Go to our website at pafamily.org to get a free copy of our latest report on Planned Parenthood.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Friends, we want to go directly now to Washington, D.C., the busiest city in the world right now. And I want to welcome to the program today our dear friend Peggy Niehneighbor. She is the Vice President of Operations at Faith and Action in the nation's capital. That is an allied ministry with our ministry called Hope to the Hill. And Peggy, it is a delight, as always, to have you aboard. Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I am looking forward to our conversation today.
Well, we are too immensely. I know you've got a lot to share, so I'm going to jump right into the middle of this. Peggy, we know that the Neil Gorsuch confirmation hearings are going to begin shortly and appear at this point as if there's going to be a veritable fireworks display with respect to the confirmation hearings. Can you speak right here out of the chute to just how good a pick Neil Gorsuch actually is?
Sure, absolutely. A couple of the things that in some of my
Peggy, you're still there? Well, it appears as if we lost Peggy momentarily. We're going to try to get her back. Gary, let me go to you right quickly while we're waiting for Peggy to return. Talk a little bit. I know you've done some research on Neil Gorsuch, as have I. He is and appears to be an outstanding pick to fill the spot vacated by Antonin Scalia. Talk about that for just a minute, if you would.
Well, I think that he is. I think that he is going to follow in the stream of Judge Scalia. And I am just thrilled over the fact that Donald Trump has come up with Gorsuch. My concern is, though, once again, is that what we are going to see is that the liberals and the Democrats are going to do everything that they can to stop him. And, you know, Dave, this ought to be of great concern for every one of us, because the real issue today is not just in the Capitol House or the White House, but it is in the courthouse there, particularly on the level of the United States Supreme Court. If the wrong people get in that particular position, what we are going to find is that it's going to change the United States not only for a couple of generations, but with the way that liberalism is growing today, it could change the United States of America for the rest of its existence. And that's why it's absolutely important that we have men like Neil Gorsuch to be put on to that particular bench. And here's the problem, Dave. What we are seeing taking place, for instance, with the Ninth Circuit Court is that many justices today make decisions based upon the emotions of people, not on the rule of law. Neil Gorsuch is the type of an individual who has the record of making decisions on the basis of law. And when you get people who are on the court who would be making decisions on the emotions of man and saying, you know, we want to stand for the people rather than the fact that we want to stand for the law of the Constitution, then we are in great risk in this nation. And that's where we are right now. That's why we need Neil Gorsuch to be up there. He is an originalist. He's a constitutionalist. He's the kind of a man we need in the Supreme Court.
Peggy, do we have you back now?
I'm still on. Can you hear me?
We can. Now, for some reason, we lost you. It could have been a technical glitch. But go ahead. Talk a little bit more, if you would, about why he is such an outstanding choice.
I'm not sure if you – did you catch the part on the issues, all of that?
We did not. We didn't get any of that, Peggy. So I'm sorry if you could back up and repeat.
That's okay.
That'd be great.
Let me back up a little bit. Yeah, that's okay. So there's a couple of things we look at on the Hill. What with Gorsuch, and I don't know if you heard this part, with Gorsuch, he has been on the Tenth Circuit Court for over a decade. So that's got a wealth of background for him. He was, when he was selected before, he was voted in with a very high rating towards him. You know, the count was towards him. But religious freedom is one of the things that we look at on Capitol Hill. And he has really, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. He has stood up for religious liberty for all Americans, and the famous case that we all know about is Hobby Lobby and the Little Sisters of the Poor. That's the one case where he very publicly has mentioned he does not like organizations or individuals to have their beliefs violated, and that was one of the main cases that I think that all of us have looked at, the Second Amendment right. He is somebody that feels like, and he has put this in his writings, with the United States v. Gaines and Perez, that case, it's a long-standing case that has to do with gun ownership, and he has put that he feels it's an individual's right to own firearms, and it should not be infringed on lightly. Freedom of speech, there's something he's wrote, his writings have gone towards that as well. We don't like to compare him to Scalia, Justice Scalia. We don't want to compare him because we feel he should be standalone. But on a lot of the different things that he has had his writings written on, shows that it would be positive for us to see that he's pushed through to this particular position. Abortion, he hasn't really made any kind of public opinion on that. However, in saying that, assisted suicide. He is firmly against suicide, euthanasia, and he's even wrote a book on that titled The Future of Assisted Suicide and Euthanasia. And he talks about how all human beings are very valuable.
Peggy, all of that bodes well for him being an outstanding pick, and I know exactly what you're saying there, though he has not issued any kind of ruling or written with respect to abortion. If he is that strong against euthanasia and doctor-assisted suicide, then obviously you would extrapolate out that he would be against abortion as well. Let me ask you to do this. The process itself of the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice like this is in and of itself beyond interesting. Can you explain a little bit about how all of this is going to work so our listeners will know what's going to take place from this point forward?
Sure. So everybody knows the president makes the nominee. President Obama did, President Bush, his father did. We all know the president does that. But our founding fathers set it up so that it wasn't just the president that made that initial decision. They originally had it so that when the president made the nominee, it had to have somebody else's approval and somebody else to kind of look at what's happening and who this person was. Well, that's your U.S. Senate. There's 100 members in the U.S. Senate. And so what happens is, the process starts out, and this particular nominee, because a lot of your members of the Senate do not even know who the nominee is, and if they have, they want to dig deeper. And so the nominee, which at this case is Judge Gorsuch, meets with the members in the Senate side. Now, he doesn't go to the ones that are very much in favor of him. His goal is to go to those that are not in favor of him. And everybody probably is thinking, why is that? Well, you want to talk to those people. Those are the people that their votes are going to count. So he meets with those particular members of the Senate. He's met with a lot more than what I've seen in the past. He's met with almost 8 to 10 people in one day. That's a lot. Now, you do have to remember he's in seclusion. So when you hear on the press that, well, he didn't answer all of my questions, or he said this or that, those meetings are confidential. What happens in those meetings are supposed to stay in those meetings. They're not supposed to come out publicly. What's supposed to come out publicly is whether that senator wants to vote for him for, you know, for or against. But not all the little odds and ends that they're saying, that's not supposed to come out. So when somebody says they don't answer all the questions, he probably doesn't answer all the questions. He's not allowed, because then he would have to sit out those cases when they do come to the Supreme Court if he gets that far. What this process takes, it's probably going to take longer. We were told 4 to 6 weeks for these meetings to occur so that he can meet across the board. What happens then after that, everything's done, then it's that approval gets put into a big document, sent over to the president and says, hey, this is the guy we want to move forward with, and then it gets put on a Senate schedule for confirmation hearings through the Judicial Committee. That judicial committee, those hearings can take almost 4 weeks. Now, we are looking at a recess. The Senate very rarely goes out, but we're looking at a recess right around Easter, which is 2 whole weeks. That can adjust this a little bit. So this could be a lengthy next 4 months process. Another question somebody asked me the other day, well, can the president take and put somebody else in his place? If things get to going south and it doesn't appear that Judge Gorsuch is the person that they want to really have in that particular role, yes, they can put somebody else up for a nomination, and this one can step to the back burner and not go all the way through. Can there be filibusters and all of these things that keep things from moving forward? All of those can happen. They usually don't through a judicial nominee when it's for the justice, but once they go through all of this, once they have the confirmation hearings, which is brutal, brutal, I mean, it's on his family, they go back to his writings. Once they go through all of that, then what happens is, if those are the ones that, if everybody's on board, they go to the floor to vote for it, the Senate floor.
Peggy, I just want to jump here to try to get to a court, to the core or something here. We only have 45 seconds, but all of this process is to be based upon the reality of advice and consent. Have we gotten away from that in modern days?
Yes, I think so. I think we've got a little bit away from it. We shouldn't, but I think we do.
Mm-hmm. Because it just seems like there's more personal involvement in this and personal opinion rather than what the whole concept of advise and consent is all about.
Absolutely. I think what happens, you know, when you have a top-heavy, you know, more Republicans or more Democrats, I think what happens is a lot of if I can say it in the right way, sore subjects. You know, nobody wants your guy to get in. Instead of really looking at his good background, I mean, he should be voted on both sides, not just on a Republican side.
So what you're saying, Peggy, is the process has become politicized. Everything, it seems like, in D.C. has become politicized. Well, I wish we had more time, but Peggy, thank you so much for being aboard. Friends, this is Peggy Nienaber, Vice President of Operations, Faith and Action in the nation's capital, an absolutely amazing ministry on Capitol Hill. Peggy, thank you so much for being aboard. We will have you back as the process moves forward to talk with you further. Friends, when we come back from the break, you're not going to believe who now realizes that they need to deport those who are illegitimately seeking asylum in their country, and I'm not talking about Donald Trump.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Puso. Another cabinet member sworn in at the White House. Republican Congressman Tom Price of Georgia is the new Health and Human Services Secretary, the oath of office administered by Vice President Mike Pence.
President Trump has made it top priority of this new Congress to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act.
Expected on Monday, final Senate confirmation votes on the nominees for Treasury Secretary and Veterans Affairs Secretary. Another challenge to President Trump's ban on travelers from seven predominantly Muslim countries.
This is, in fact, the Muslim ban that the president talked about when he was a candidate.
Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring filing suit on behalf of legal permanent residents either detained at Dulles International Airport or denied entry into the U.S. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WFYL. Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA. PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
The judicial power ought to be distinct from both the legislative and executive and independent upon both. That so, it may be a check upon both, as both should be checks upon that. John Adams, Thoughts on Government, 1776.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, the major topic of discussion right now is President Trump's executive order with respect to limiting or suspending the entrance of certain people from seven countries that are known to be jihadist hotbeds into the United States of America. And of course, last evening, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, some call it the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals. And Gary, I think that may be a more appropriate description.
I
do too. But anyway, they ruled, three members of that circuit court ruled against President Trump, said that your quote unquote, as some people are calling it, travel ban, travel suspension is not legal. It is not constitutional. Friends, this is a horrible decision coming from the most overturned federal circuit court in the court system. The Ninth Circuit is called the Ninth Circus for a reason. It is overturned constantly because of its liberal bent. Of course, it is the part that is in the western United States of America, and they are actually housed in the city of San Francisco, which probably says a lot about their ideological bent. But, Gary, here is what is at issue, and I want to read this before we talk about another world leader who is now realizing that really Donald Trump is trying to do the right thing. What is at issue here, friends, where the court system really should have no say at all, is what the U.S. Code, Code 8, Section 1182 says. Friends, this is as clear as it can possibly be, and I'm reading it directly. whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may by proclamation, i.e. an executive order, and for such period as he shall deem necessary, parentheses here, I'm going to insert 120 days, which is what President Trump's executive order called for such a period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. Gary, what is hard to understand about that? That's crystal clear.
Well, it is crystal clear, Dave, and I am really glad that you read that Code 8, Section 1182, because people are completely forgetting it. And consequently, I think that this shows us that the Ninth Circus, as as you said, is really out of line. And it's out of line for several reasons in what they did. Number one, the decision is not the jurisdiction of the court. Number two, the decision violates presidential power, even according to Article 2, Section 2 of the United States Constitution. Number three, the decision that they made is based upon emotional concerns rather than on the rule of law. Number four, the decision that they've made has become nothing more than partisan politics. Number five, the decision that they've made is going to bring great potential danger on the United States of America. You know, I sure hope that none of these people coming in will perform an act of terror, but it could possibly be the case. And then, of course, number six, as you read, the decision actually violates the code on inadmissible aliens. And so this is really, really serious. Dave, the court shouldn't even be looking at it.
You know, Gary, on Monday, we talked about the history of immigration law and naturalization law in the United States going all the way back to the 1800s. And Gary, as far back as 1889, the laws that were passed with respect to immigration said that this is not the domain of the judicial branch. This is the domain of the legislative branch, which is the Congress, and the executive branch, which is the White House. It is amazing to me. It is amazing to me. I am stunned every single day when I realize how ignorant even those that are supposed to be serving and are serving in places of leadership in the United States of America, they don't know the laws of this country. Gary, the Ninth Circuit shouldn't even be issuing a ruling on this. Mm. This is a decision for the president and the Congress to decide. Now, here's what's so amazing as we shift gears. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is now stepping up her efforts to speed up, and you are hearing me correctly, the deportations of rejected asylum seekers. And she's doing it after a terror attack in Berlin last year that cast sharp light on the potential risk of letting failed refugees remain in the country of Germany. On Thursday, which was yesterday, Chancellor Merkel called on the country's 16 federal states to back measures expediting deportations. Now, Gary, this is an amazing, amazing thing. And of course, what happened last year around Christmas time in that market in Berlin, committed by a Tunisian asylum seeker, is causing her to rethink what's been going on in her country, because she's basically up to this point opened up the arms of the German nation to refugees. And she's realizing now that was a disastrous mistake. This may be far too late. But Gary, I want you to address this, because this is what is going on out in the social media world and even in the Christian community. This is a topic that is being discussed nonstop. There is a comparison being made between refugees or immigrants coming to America and missionaries going from the United States to another country. Gary, I had a lengthy conversation with someone on Facebook about this 2 days ago. They said, look, we're going to their countries trying to evangelize. Why then can they not come to our country and want to implement their way of life here? Gary, there is a distinct difference between the two. Please explain.
Well, it's the word destruction. And it goes back to John chapter 10 and verse 10, David, as I see it. For instance, in John chapter 10 and verse 10, we have the mission statement of Satan plus the mission statement of Christ. There Jesus says, the thief, the devil, cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. Then he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. When members of ISIS and radical Islam come into the United States of America, they are coming here because they hate us. They are coming in here because they want to see us destroyed, not because they love us. When we send missionaries from this nation or any other nation to other nations of the world, they are going into those nations because they love the people of those nations. You've been to the mission field. You're going there in just a week or so. I've been to 32 nations of the world on missions ministry. We go because we love the people. We want to give them the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is life that's worth living and life that is eternal. And that is totally, completely different than what the Sharia law that radical Islams want to set up here in the United States of America. David, there's no comparison between the two whatsoever.
Gary, that is very well said. Every time the gospel has gone into a nation that did not have it. For example, when David Livingstone carried the gospel into the heart of Africa, Gary, along with the gospel came liberation, came freedom, came escape from captivity and bondage. The opposite is true when it comes to the implementation of what the radical Islamist wants to bring into the United States of America. And friends, we are not discounting that there are some legitimate immigrants wanting to come here for freedom. We're not discounting that there aren't legitimate refugees wanting to come here. The problem, though, is this. Government is slated with the task of keeping its citizenry safe. And as the chief executive officer of the United States government, President Trump understands his responsibility to keep the American people safe. Hence this suspension of travel from these seven countries that are known to be jihadist hotbeds. Gary, when these Muslims come to America that are bent on our destruction, as you so well said, they are coming not to spread a gospel message. They're coming for the implementation of that which is antithetical to the United States. It is the implementation of a legal system called Sharia, a legal system which the Muslim community swears allegiance to. They can never swear genuine allegiance to a constitution, especially the United States Constitution. So to draw a parallel between missionaries going from America to a Muslim country and Islamists coming from a Muslim country to America are diametrically opposite of each other. They are not the same at all. Gary, how did we get to this place? Help me understand something, my friend. How did we get to the place where the ability to think through this situation and articulate that these two, Christian evangelization and Muslim implementation of Sharia, how did we lose the ability to communicate that these are not the same?
You know, I go back to something I said many times on this particular program. I think I said it in the first segment, and this may be oversimplifying it, but when we put the reality of God out of our picture, out of our mind picture, then we can't even think properly. Romans chapter 1 teaches us that. And in the last several generations in our nation, we've put God completely out of the picture. And consequently, there is no practical understanding of almost any situation that comes along. And, you know, a lot of this also goes back to the code, the code on inadmissible aliens that you read a bit earlier. And where it says this, whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental interest of the United States, he may, and then it goes on, he may prevent them from coming into the country. You see, when we send out missionaries, that's not a detrimental effect upon those nations. It's a positive effect upon those nations.
Excellent.
And I'll tell you,
point.
David,
excellent.
I'll tell you, David, what concerns me is when Christians, so-called Christians, say that us sending missionaries to other countries is like ISIS coming into the United States of America. When they say that, I can't even say that they're born-again Christians. They certainly don't understand the Great Commission. They don't understand the gospel.
Well, Gary, I agree with you, my friend. It is deeply, deeply troubling. And all one has to do is take a trip through social media one day, and you will find all over social media these parallels, at least the attempt to draw the parallel between Christian evangelization and the allowance of Islamic ideology into America. The two are not the same at all. And Gary, your explanation was about as powerful as any I've ever heard. Well, friends, we declined a lot, militarily, morally, economically, during the two terms of Barack Obama, but we also declined in another way. And you're going to find out about that in the final segment of the program after this brief timeout. Don't miss it.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Up next, Dr. Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From high school dropout and teenage mother to esteemed Vanderbilt University political science and law professor, Carol examines the religious significance of today's most pressing issues and courageously exposes the cultural forces that threaten our cherished values and principles.
Hello, folks. Have you ever stopped to think just how many lawyers there are in Congress? No, not advisors to Congress, but actual congressmen who are lawyers. Well, according to a Washington Post article of January 17th this year, there are 128 in the House and 45 in the Senate. These are the people who make the decisions regarding education, environment, the military, economic policy, foreign policy, and so forth and so on. Do we really need that many lawyers sitting in Congress, heading up committees? Judging by the general state of affairs, we don't. And that's why we just elected a businessman as president. Somewhere between our founding and our $20 trillion debt, we somehow got it into our heads that lawyers are the jack of all trades, experts on all things governmental, and so we've been sending an overly large number of them to Congress, with many becoming president. Our nation is, in a sense, a corporation with the president responsible to the people for his decisions. The president is, for better or for worse, a businessman. The success of his policy decisions determines our personal spending power, our national safety, and so forth. I think there is a real hope that as businessman Donald Trump and patriot Donald Trump gets down to our nation's business, the well-informed decisions of President Donald Trump will be in our national interest.
Learn more about Dr. Carol Swain at BeThePeopleTV.com, CarolMSwain.net, and on Facebook at Professor Carol M. Swain, Ph.D.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, the Obama years were 8 years of moral, military, economic, and certainly spiritual decline, but we also declined in another area. And that's what we want to talk about in this final segment. Yesterday, we had on the program Todd Starnes of Fox News, and I would encourage you to go back and listen to yesterday's program. That was an outstanding interview with one of the finest men anywhere in America, committed Christian, an incredibly articulate gentleman. But Todd Starnes has written one of his many articles that shows up on the Fox website dealing with how American school children have become more stupid under the Obama administration. And according to rankings released by an organization called OECD, which stands for Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, they recently released the results of a worldwide exam administered every 3 years to 15-year-olds in 72 countries. The exam monitors three topics, that's reading, math, and science knowledge, and in other words, basic educational components. Based on their findings, the United States saw an 11-point drop in math scores and remained at flat levels for reading and science over the last 8 years. Now, let me repeat that. The last 8 years, according to this test that is given, this exam that is administered by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the United States, out of 72 countries, saw an 11-point drop among its 15-year-old students in math scores. An 11-point drop, and then we remained basically the same in reading and science. So in essence, friends, the land of the free and the home of the brave fell below the OECD average, and we didn't even make it into the top 10 as a nation in any of those three categories. So friends, thanks to the Obama administration's economic policies, we went down. Thanks to their military policies, we went down. And now thanks to their education policies, we declined greatly to the point that kids in the Slavic Republic are more proficient in multiplication than are our children here in the United States of America. Gary, I want to go to you. Something's going on here. I personally believe that the Obama administration and the president himself set about to dumb down further. It's been going on for decades, but I think they tried to dumb down further the American youth so that the electorate ultimately is not aware of virtually anything and they can be easily manipulated. Am I off base or not?
Well, I think, David, you're right on track. And, you know, as you're talking there, certainly the Obama administration, I think, has done so much to the detriment to our education here in the United States of America. But, you know, we can really also trace that back actually as far as Bill Bennett and others who were serving during the Reagan administration. You know, there has been talk in Washington amongst conservatives to do away with the Department of Education. And one of the reasons why is because education should never be the responsibility of the federal government. I think we talked a little bit about this the other day, that education is the responsibility of the parents. And then, of course, I think that perhaps, yes, it can reach up as far as the state, but that's all the further. It should never go into the realm of the federal government. The Constitution doesn't call for that. That's not one of the 17 or 18 things that our Constitution calls for in relationship to the federal government. And so I think that what's happened is, number one, the parents and the church, the local church, have surrendered the concept of education to the government. That should never have taken place, and that's been taking place ever since about 1850, and of course it's just only gone downhill ever since. I believe in public education, but I do not believe in governmental education. It's governmental education that has brought us the things of like Common Core and values clarification and all of those things. And David, this is one of the reasons why I am so happy that Betsy DeVos has now been accepted as the Secretary of Education. I think that she is going to work in any number of ways to strengthen the education system here in the United States of America and even bring it back to where there may be more authority from the parents and local government rather than federal government. Keep in mind, Dave, that when public education becomes the realm of the federal government. There is no one to give accountability to on behalf of the federal government. Well, yes, they should be giving accountability to we, the people, but they're not. And that's what makes it dangerous and serious.
Well, Gary, you are 100% correct. And I was going to ask you, it's like you're reading my mind or reading my mail again, which you do frequently. And I didn't even invite you in, my friend, but you just read my mind. But the fact of the matter is, I was going to ask you, don't you think Betsy DeVos is going to be an outstanding laborer and an outstanding warrior to try to get education back where it should be? And that is, at the very least, to the state level. And then, of course, back to the home level. It is not, never was intended to be the domain of the federal government whatsoever. And Gary, we have seen everything the federal government touches. The federal government does not have a Midas touch. Everything it touches dies. Everything it touches declines. And so education, no matter how much money we have continued to pour into it, has continued to decline. The public education I'm talking about, because of the federal government's involvement in it. Todd Starnes made this statement, Gary, and I want to mention it, get a response from you, and then I'd like you to pray, if you would, as we conclude not only the program but the week. Todd Starnes said this. I think it's an amazing, amazing conclusion to his outstanding article on this topic. He said, "Can we blame the kids for being dumb as rocks when instead of aspiring to greatness, public schools across the fruited plain are programming kids to be mediocre? It doesn't matter if little Johnny thinks 5 + 4 = 12. Modern day classrooms are safe places where everybody's a winner and everybody gets a trophy." Gary, I think Todd Starnes has hit the nail on the head again.
Well, he certainly has, and God has given Todd Starnes great wisdom. And again, I'm glad that we were able to have him on yesterday, but that's absolutely true. And again, we can trace this back for decades of deterioration in governmental education. And I think that we need to pray that there is a reversal, that the education system will become stronger. And as you said, get back into the realm of the parents and the church where it should be. David, the United States of America became a superpower because we put God first.
Amen.
I think one of the reasons why we are declining today, read the book, The 5,000-Year Leap, folks. But I think that one of the reasons why we are declining today is because we've taken God out of the picture. We've taken him out of education. God can't even be mentioned in some governmental schools today. And consequently, we can expect nothing more than what Romans chapter 1 says. Take God out of the picture, and there people are without understanding. You can't even think right. That's where the real issue lies. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to you today, we do think particularly of this matter of education. And we know, as we studied the other day, or we declared the other day, your word teaches us that education is the realm of the parents. I pray, dear Lord, for Betsy DeVos. I pray that you will use her not only to strengthen the Department of Education here in the United States of America, but to bring education back to the local scene, back to the moms and the dads. And Lord, I would even pray that maybe under her leadership, we would see the demise of the Department of Education that many people have been talking about for years. But Lord, we ask you to work in a mighty way so that we'll be able to say to you be the glory, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, this is a conclusion again of another week of programming. Thank you so much for being a part of it. We're going to take a 72-hour break and return on Monday. The weekend will no doubt be filled with a lot of things going on, and we're going to keep you abreast of all of it on Monday, doing the research to bring to you the truth of what's going on. And until that time, we want to encourage you to stand in the gap for truth wherever you are. Have a blessed weekend.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM 11.